Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to be looking at the sixth week, or sixth Sunday in Easter for 2019. We are almost through to Pentecost, just two more weeks, and we will be at Pentecost Sunday and wrap up the Easter season in a grand fashion. But before then, we have these readings. Today's first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to Moses' practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension among and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, the leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them. "The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, of Gentile origin, greeting. Since we have heard that some of our number went out without any mandate from us, have upset you with their teachings, and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Saul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sending Judas and Silas, who will also convey the same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely to abstain from meat sacrificed from idols, from blood, from meat strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep from these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell." The word of the Lord. O God, let all the nations praise you. O God, let all the nations praise you. May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon the earth, among all the nations, your salvation. O Lord, let all the nations praise you. May the nations be glad and exult, because you rule the people in equity. The nations on the earth you guide. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may all the ends of the earth fear you. O God, let all the nations praise you. The second reading is a reading from the book of Revelation. The angel took me in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall, and 12 gates were 12 angels stationed, and on which were names inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 concourses of stone as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Whoever loves me will keep my word, says the Lord. My Father will love him, and we will come to him. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You have heard me telling you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now, I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, when we get to these readings today, one of the things that we see is that God wants to leave an everlasting gift of peace among us. This is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that is a gift of Jesus Christ to each one of his disciples. It is a peace that should be our desire, yet is a peace that is often absent in our lives because we do not rest in Jesus Christ the way that we ought. As the Alleluia refrain reminds us, if we truly love him, we will keep his word. This is how the Father will be able to love you and come unto you, is through keeping his word. As we said yesterday in our teachings on love, love believes all things. It keeps the word of the Lord. Where is the word of the Lord kept? In the church. We see this in the example found in Acts, where we see the actual Council of Jerusalem being talked about in Acts 15. And it shows how when a dispute actually happens about a matter of faith, it should be decided by the church. It's not me, my Bible, Jesus, and an island somewhere. I don't determine what is right for me in the eyes of God. I have to be surrendered and believe the testimony of the church. This is where the church comes in. And this is something that we see in the first reading. The reading basically says, there were some who were instructing that everyone needs to be circumcised according to Moses' practice in order to be saved. The question of salvation came up in this thing. It's the question that really at all times is being answered by the church in its various ages. In the early church, the decision of circumcision or not circumcision was decided by the Council of Jerusalem. Through various persecutions that happened through the church and the beginning of what was known as the Arian heresy and a few other Gnostic heresies that came up during the age of persecution, there were councils at Nicaea, Constantinople, Ephesus, Chalcedon, I think I'm saying it right, maybe I'm wrong, but a few other councils came up to determine how Jesus Christ was both God and man, what the nature of God is, whether Mary was to be considered the mother of God, and how that was all to play out. And we got beautiful creeds and confessions, like the Apostles' Creed was formulated for the baptismal rite, the Nicene-Constantinople Creed that we say every Sunday in Mass, the I believe confession or we believe confession, depending upon where you're at in the body of Christ, comes out, where we learn that God is light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. This is who Jesus is. This is all that we need to understand. And these were brought out in those councils. There was also the question of different ways the church deals out its disciplinary actions over various councils. The Council of Trent dealt with the issue of salvation as it related to Protestantism. So we see that the voice of the church is always speaking and defining things that need to be defined for our salvation. And it's something that they choose the representatives and the agreement that comes from the apostles and the elders, elders here being priest. Need to remember that when you're reading the word elder in an English translation, it comes from the Greek word presbyteros. Presbyteros, when translated through Latin, then English, is the word we have as priest. So when you see a father at Mass, he is an elder in the sense, biblically, as the head of a congregation. And this is the people who were chosen as representatives that went with Paul and Barnabas as other apostles or bishops to teach the doctrine of the church. And it was something that came out of this council. So if we truly love God, we will believe him and we will hold on to his word at all times. The reason why we have a visible church in such communities done up is because, as we note from this first reading, some of the early Christian communities were not able to keep peace among themselves because the way of truth is not always clear. There are different changing modes throughout life that need to be understood. In fact, there's different ways in which different people have understood the Word of God that needs to be explained, and there needs to be an authoritative, this is how you understand this. Like, how do we understand that Jesus Christ is lesser than God, as he said in the God the Father in the Gospel, yet still co-equal in a divine sense of being a member of the Trinity? This is something that was part of the early church councils. It also explains how the Holy Spirit is also a member of the Trinity of God, and also brings it out. And it's something that we really need to understand. As the section 747 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, the Holy Spirit, whom Christ the head pours out on his members, builds up and animates and sanctifies the entire church. She is the sacrament of the Holy Trinity's communion with men. This church, this visible church, the way in which we know how to settle disagreements is by going to the church. Remember in Matthew 18, if you have anything against a brother, try to resolve it with your brother peacefully. If you can't, get two witnesses. And if you won't settle the matter with those two witnesses, bring it before the church. Well, an example of how it was brought before the church is here in the first reading, where Paul and Barnabas were selected among many others to go up to the Jerusalem Council and find out how it is somebody gets saved. And this is something that we see. We hear that the model of discerning peace, the gift of God, is where we allow ourselves to sit under the what's defined in the Latin term, the magisterium, the teaching of the apostles. Because the apostles in this meeting sought to restore the peace of the community by uniting their will with that of the Holy Spirit. They did that in this council. In turning to God in these ways and opening ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit within us, we allow ourselves to hear the word of God in the community of the disciples as we ought. And this is the thing that many people forget about the church and how it is an authoritative body. It is the way in which we hear God speak to us through others. We're not just reading a book and trying to define from our own understanding how that's to be done, but instead we listen to the community of the believers that are around us. Because if we don't do this, we're not really listening to God. We don't really believe all things, and we don't really understand how we become models of Christ in being submitted to the authority of someone greater than us. This is how we move forward. In fact, if we think about it in our lives of prayer and how this kind of melts into our prayer life is to model this. And just to kind of tie this in first to the book of Revelation, you'll note in the book of Revelation, it talks about how the gates of the new Jerusalem that comes out of heaven is something that has the name of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, because each one is explained as having their names inscribed on it. Also, the foundation of the city, the stones of the foundation, are inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles. So Peter, Matthew, James, John, all of the apostles are listed on these stones that are the foundation of this new Jerusalem. This new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven is you and me, because we are brought together as lively stones, as Peter tells us in his first epistle, to be built up into this holy habitation. So there's this real understanding, if we really connect this through possibly and really understand it as it is, we are the church that's being lowered out of heaven. And this is how our prayer brings us into what we need to really receive the peace of God. St. Francis of Assisi once prayed that he would become a channel of God's peace. This prayer is now a hymn that we sing in church, where basically we're asking God to make us peaceful men. Where there's light, let us bring hope. I'm not going to sing it because I'm not really able to do it at this point. But it's just reminding us of how we receive God's peace through the church. It's a matter of us really bending our knee and understanding how God takes pity on us and makes his way known to us through the church. The only way in which we're able to know is through the church. It's not that the, if we really pay attention to what this is all about, it's showing how God dwells with us. My Father will love him and we will come to him as the word that we had in our Alleluia hymn. It reminds us that the word you hear is not Christ, but it is that of the Father who sent him. This is how we should accept the word of the church. I believe all things that the Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, O Father. That's what we say in the act of faith, if we prayed that particular prayer. There's a prayer known as the act of faith. And in it, it tells us to believe all things that the church has revealed for our belief. Now, there are certain things that bishops and priests and popes have even talked about that aren't necessarily de facto truths that we should know about or definite truths that we should believe in. There are doctrines and dogmas that we have to believe without question. One such doctrine is the Immaculate Conception, or that there really is a heaven or there really is a hell, that Jesus Christ really is 100% God and 100% man. Those are things that are without question, that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, yet one being, therefore only one God, one true monotheistic God. How, we don't understand, but we know the truth of these statements. So there are things that we can know definitely. These are the one plus ones of faith that equal two that we are to believe without question. How and why they come about are things we can't really explain. It's kind of like if you were to explain how you see anything, you couldn't actually explain it because the description of what you're doing is the only explanation you can give. I open my eyes and I see this computer before me, or I see this microphone before me. I know that the microphone looks like this and this. I can understand that the color of white is the color white, and the color blue is the color blue, or the color green is the color green. I don't have to go anything more than really just tell you what something is by its definition. And that's exactly what these certain truths are that the church brings forth for us to know. We know that the Bible consists of the books that we find in every Catholic Bible, including the book of Maccabees 1 and 2, Judith, Tobit, Song of Songs, Psalms, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Romans, Revelation, etc., and so forth, because these are the books that have been defined as scriptural. Those like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Apocalypse of Peter, are not scriptural because they've been rejected by the church because they don't teach true doctrine. And it's only because of Martin Luther and the Reformers in the 1500s that the books of Judith, Tobit, Wisdom of Solomon, Ecclesiasticus, and so forth have all been removed from the Bible because they didn't like them. I mean, they're the ones that removed the Word of God from what had been accepted as the Word of God for over 1,500 years. And there's proofs if you go back to the Peshitta, which is the earliest Syriac translation of Scripture into the Syriac language in, I think it's 187, or I want to say it's 187 AD, about 150 years after Jesus died. The books included were 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Tobit, Judith, the additions to Esther were all in this particular version of scripture that dates less than 100 years after John the Apostle died. So it's been at least for 1,400 years before Martin Luther accepted a scripture. And then he on his own takes these out. So we need to listen to the word of the church, how the church teaches us, how the church instructs us, because this is exactly how we get into everything. Because if we truly hear the word of God and love him and keep his word as the gospel tells us, so that God the Father and God the Son can dwell in us, we won't receive the advocate, whom the Father will send in his name. Because it's by sending the Holy Spirit that we receive both Father and Son in us. The Holy Spirit is that presence of the eternal Godhead within us. We receive this as peace, a peace that not the world gives, but as Christ gives. It's not, and this, if we really listen to it and we really understand, we shouldn't let our hearts be troubled or afraid, because Jesus says, I am going away. If you love me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father. Because in going to the Father, he receives the Holy Spirit and sends it down to us. And this is preparing us. This particular reading is preparing us for two events. One is the act of the Ascension, which technically is this Thursday. Ascension Thursday is the 40th day after Easter, and that is typically when the church for centuries has remembered the Ascension of the Lord. In many dioceses, that has been moved to next Sunday for the purposes of us not missing a holy day of obligation. Because there's too many people that, because of work and the way secular living in the United States is, and really the attitude toward the church and how little faithfulness there is in the community of believers here in the United States, to maintain a holy day of obligation on any day other than Sunday, which is really extremely sad. So it's a suppressed, in a sense, solemnity or holy day of obligation that is moved to the nearest Sunday, and that Sunday is replaced by that particular day. And as I'll go through this week, on Thursday, I'll just do the Ascension readings because that's the proper day for it, but allow for the readings for next Sunday to happen as the seventh Sunday instead of the Sunday of the Ascension. But that's just merely my plan going forward. But if we really understood this, he's preparing us for two things. One is the Ascension, which in our understanding, the feast day is technically supposed to be Thursday, but in most dioceses of the United States, it's been moved till next Sunday. But I'll go through the readings on Thursday so that you can get it on its proper day. And the next thing after that is the receiving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Both of these events are talked about in today's gospel, kind of preparing you for Thursday and preparing you for the finality of the Easter season, which is Pentecost Sunday, the beginning of the next ordinary period of time in our lives. And it's a reminder that our ordinary times are based off of the Easter blessings that we get. But that's something for another day. But the main thing that we need to get out of this is just really understanding that the peace that God gives us is a peace that is beyond understanding. It is a peace that comes to us when we truly unite with him as members of his body in the church. Because when we do that, we will truly be blessed.